preach a message. I believe with all the patriotism and all that's going on, the Lord laid a message on my heart tonight, and I believe that what we desperately need in our land is revival. I am not one that believes that, I'm not a doomsdayist. I think that we've come to a place, and if we're not careful as God's people, we will mark the signs of the times and be guilty of measuring them as Americans. And although we feel like we're already in the midst of a tribulation period, the world's been going through much worse tribulation day by day. And oftentimes we're guilty of coming to a place where we measure the signs of the times because it's not good here. Amen? You look at America and the freedoms that we once had were not what they used to be. And we can look and see that it could get a lot worse. But even now in Afghanistan, there are people that have less freedom than we, who are losing their lives for simply being Christians. And that's not something that just started to happen, folks. There was a brief breath of time that American soldiers were there, and they were able to be defended, able to have some assembly of themselves without, fear of someone coming in and killing them. I'm just here to say we've got to be careful. I love America. I am a patriot through and through. But if we're not careful, we will change the doctrine of this book to fit our perspective as Americans because of where we are in time. Because we've not suffered these woes, and we think this must be the tribulation period. There are a whole group of people, and someone that if I named him, someone who's very respected, who told me this past week, I used to be pre-tribulation. I used to be pre-trib, but he didn't mark Bible. He started to mark the signs of the times in America. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's three different delineations in Scripture, one of them being tribulation. We are in and throughout the New Testament age, we have been in tribulation. The separation of Jacob's troubles is great tribulation. And then wrath. I'm just going to tell you, folks, the wrath part is pouring out of God's wrath upon this earth. The great tribulation is set, and it's a time period that is called Jacob's troubles. Not the church's troubles. The time of Jacob's trouble. So for all of you that are jumping ship because of the winds of change and of too many videos on the internet, maybe you ought to just stick with the book. And men that have preached the truth throughout the ages in the past, and I'm just going to tell you, Paul wasn't looking for the Antichrist, and he was a Jew. He was looking for Jesus to come back for the church. Amen and amen. Now, that was a sermon in itself, but I felt like I just needed to get it off my chest right before we started. So if you know where I'm at and what got me wound up, now we're all on the same page. Amen? Second Chronicles. This is something for us. We've read this verse over and over again. This is, if we could say it in a just kind of put some definition to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I will not preach from here tonight. I just want to read it and make some overall remarks, but I just want to say completely from this passage, this is national revival, not personal revival. And for the tape room tonight, I'll be preaching on personal revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, I believe this is what our nation needs, which is no stranger to the verse. You've heard it before, but look at it with me according to the scripture. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is a promise not just to the Jew. It begins with, if my people. It is an Old Testament passage that I would say is specifically given to the Jew, but not just the Jew, but my people. I'd submit to you tonight that as we go to the New Testament and we realize that in our age or our dispensation, we can go back to this verse and for our admonition, realize that God took the middle wall of partition down. Not between just us and God, but between the Jew and the Gentile. And the mystery of the coming into the church age was that God married the Jew and the Gentile together in his church. For this dispensation, if you do not rightly divide the dispensations of time in the scripture, you will mess up God's plan and purpose for his church. And you'll put the church where the Jew is still at, and you'll put the Jew out and make the church the recipient of all the blessings of the church. Listen, or you'll say that's the church, not the Jew. No, God is still Jewish. The Jewish people are still the apple of God's eye. He will, again, when the church age comes to a close, he will reinstitute his plan with the Jew. And listen, according to the book of Romans, every one of them that make it through, that are overcomers through that tribulation period, they will turn and see him and turn to him as the Messiah, the Savior who's come to redeem the people. And everyone in that age will be saved in a moment. But the people that'll be coming back with him will be his church. I just want you to know tonight, don't get mixed up. We're in an age where we have never been before. As Americans, I almost preached a message tonight, and just let me tell you, I believe that personal revival is what we need more than just screaming and pounding the pulpit of where we are as people, as a nation. Realize that we are on the cusp of either revival, revolution, or rapture. We are at that place as God's people. We're at a place where we will either be revived as a nation and be able to look back and see what God did, that he brought us so low and brought us so, we came so far away and God revived us and brought us back, that he saved our nation and brought it back close unto himself through the people being saved and God's people getting right. We live in a day and age, we're walking into a place like this, and I've said it over and over again, and we're not just talking about the patriotism. Listen, you can go all over town, and you're not going to get everybody all over town to dress up like we did this morning, because it's not politically correct. Things that were said from the pulpit this morning would never be said at many of the pulpits across this land or in this town, because they're not politically correct. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, we never were politically correct as the church. We are never commanded to be. We're supposed to be right with God. We're supposed to be walking with him. We're supposed to be in a stage of constant revival. That means if I slip back a little bit, or if I wasn't what I was yesterday, that I need to draw close into God, that to get out and repent of the things that I got away from him with, and get and draw close into God and walk with him. If there was ever an age that God's people need to throw off the lust and the flesh and all the things that take us away, and the simple entertainment pleasures of the day, so that we could walk close to a holy God, it is today. We desperately need God's people to walk with him and be right. And this idea of national revival in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 is dependent on the collective actions of God's people, not on the world. We've preached it over and over again. So how do we get there? We could preach on 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 and say, this is what we need to do as God's people collectively. When Psalms 138, I want you to turn with me and look at this. And I have some other things I wrote down that I feel like will be eye-opening maybe for you. I think it's super old, but I think we ought to know our history. In Psalms 138, we'll look at the majority of the chapter tonight. In study, David here writes not necessarily about personal revival, but he writes a song that draws. By the time we begin, we see a drawing unto God back where he once was. Even in the final verse of the chapter, he uses the word revive me. a personal context, a personal drawing. When we talk about revive us, it's good for us as a church to be revived. It's good for us. We just went through a Bible conference or a back-to-school Bible revival, back-to-school revival, and we wanted to be revived collectively. But what we need is every man, woman, boy, and child in God's house to get settled on their salvation. And once you know that you're on your way to heaven, get to work at walking with an Almighty God and walk close to Him. Be on fire for Him. Not this cold, lukewarm Christianity that the Laodicean age that we currently live in. I'm better than the Christians that I go to work with. That's not what God's looking for. That's not what God's worried about. He's worried about your fire. He's worried about your walk. He's worried about you and reviving you. And if we would all focus on our own walk and reviving ourselves, then we as a church, as a nation, could be and see revival. Our founders, we had some founding fathers that made some prolific statements. I did not make this statement this morning. I saved it for tonight. I just didn't have time. The choir took all my time this morning. And just kidding. I appreciate the choir. Thank God for them. Amen. They prepare the heart. Amen. But the message came from Thomas Paine. And Thomas Paine said this: the duty of a true patriot is to protect his country from its government. Thomas Jefferson said this: the end of democracy and the defeat of the American Revolution will occur when government falls into the hands of lending institutions and corporations. That was written in 1816. Folks, I just want you to know this, that today, and the troubles that we're in, and the mandates that are coming down from the White House are not coming from the White House. There's a puppet with somebody's arm stuck up his back, and they're lending institutions and pharmaceutical companies that are driving this. Not a virus, not science, but corporations and lending institutions. And I'm here to tell you, there is no vaccination that will save us from COVID. There's a God that can. You say, well, I've been vaccinated. I'm not against people that have been vaccinated. I believe that we live in a free country where every one of us ought to be able to choose for our own health and well-being. Too many people have made this, and again, we can look at the Bible and we can make it very close to the mark of the beast if we wanted to. We can measure it there. And there's a good reason. If a believer believes that's what it looks like, then they ought to take a stand and say, I've got a religious freedom that says I don't have to take this. And the other folks that are in this building, instead of fearing for your life, ought to respect a believer's right to stand up and say, I'm not taking it. Amen. Businesses, how is it that they planned on doing this? Because the Constitution sure won't let them do it. If they can't stand and ask us what gender we are, then how in the world are they allowed to ask us if we've been vaccinated or not? I'm just going to tell you tonight, we've got to come to a place where we come to our senses. And the only thing that is going to change is if we as God's people stand up. Listen to the last statement. This is where we've come to. They have brought fear so thick on the nation, this nation that is the home of the free and supposed to be the brave. This statement by Thomas Jefferson again: when government fears the people, there is liberty. But when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And we've come to a place where we are willing to trade our freedoms for a vaccination. We are willing to trade our neighbor and those that we used to go to war for and bleed and die for a country's freedom. We're willing to trade our neighbor out and sell them out because we think everyone should be vaccinated just like us. I watched a disheartening video of a man on the street in California. And I'm going to tell you, two out of every three people that walk by him believe that anyone who is not vaccinated should be locked up in jail until they're willing to take the vaccination. You say, no way, preacher. Absolutely. In America. Now, I know it was in crazy land, California. It didn't take it in Polk County because they'd have got shot for asking the question. And the sheriff would have said, get them again, hit them again, amen. Praise the Lord for where we live and the governor that we have and the stand that's been taken. But I'm telling you, if revival doesn't take place, revolution may. And if revolution doesn't come, we may see the rapture in our lifetime. I believe everything is ready and the Lord is poised to come back for his people. But it may need to be all three, revival, revolution, and rapture. We have a responsibility as Americans. I hope you can look back with your mind's eye to the American Revolution and realize that men went to war for much less than this. They went to war over taxation without representation. In the Civil War, they went to war over states' rights and their sovereign right. Okay, can I tell you, both of those things right now have been trampled on. They've been walked over and mucked up, and now we're coming to a place where you and I are having to make decisions. They're trying to make decisions about our own personal health from a place in Washington. I don't know about you, I just don't trust Fauci that much. All right, I can tell you, if you ask Joe Biden how many shots he's currently had, he couldn't tell you. He can't count that high. He don't know what he's had unless it's on the teleprompter. Hey, in the scripture, in Psalms 138, if God's people would get revived, if we could get and have personal revival, I believe tonight it would change Haines City. If every one of us in this building tonight decided to have personal revival, to like David writes in this song, he desires it. He asks God for it before he comes to the end. And if we could just come to the place not to worry about the man sitting next to us or complain about if this person or my neighbor or my church would just do this, if I would just get right with God, if you would just get right with God, if we'd come real with ourselves and realize I need to walk with God, I need this. If we would do this as a people, it would change our town. It would change our church. It would set us, when the apostles got on fire, it turned the world upside down, and there was only 12 of them. Look at the scripture with me. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me. With strength in my soul, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord. When they hear the words of thy mouth, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But look at this. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Look at that. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against. Look, I don't know about this. Again, he says, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. He goes through the chapter and he says some things that I think are profound. Number one, I want you to look at verse number one. He says, praise me with your whole heart. Praise me with your whole heart. You know that really seeking revival begins with desiring a giving of your whole self into the Lord. It's not just something that it's required for revival. You cannot begin to say, God, I will give a piece of myself to you if you'll revive me. No, you have to be fully committed to revival. That was my whole heart. You, even in the scripture, look at it with me again if you would. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. You see the little g? Will I sing praise unto thee? Why would it? Why would it be there where he says, I'll give you my whole heart. And he says there, before the gods. Do you think he's making an acknowledgement? This is David writing the psalm under the inspiration of God. Do you know why I believe that this psalm is specifically written about personal revival? Because in this room tonight, the thing that is between you and Almighty God is something that's a little g God. It's got you. It's got a hold of you. And even though you don't believe you worship it, you do. It's got your attention. It's got so much of you, you can't give God your whole heart. But he wants it. And he doesn't just want it. I mean, like saying behind closed door, he wants you to give him your whole heart in front of whatever your little g God is. He wants you to walk it in front of the little g God that owns you. Hey, in this room, without a doubt, we live in a day and age with a little phone, and we could go over some of that. It may be sports that has you. It may be looking at the wrong thing. I am overwhelmed by the amount of men that are taken and smitten with a little magic box that we call a phone, and they it owns them when they're alone. It used to be the computer screen that we talked about, but now it's a phone. Hey, ladies, we make the gods, we watch it, a cooking show or some soap opera, or we could go through the list of things that we can't get close to God because we put smut in front of our face. And don't just make it to be somebody without clothes. There are a number of things that could capital with a little g God that would take and pull you away from a holy God. That these eyes that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ should never look at, should never participate in. And in this day, when we try to focus in on God and try to, he wants our whole heart. Some of us give too much time to politics in this world and less of ourselves to a holy God who wants all of us. He didn't say, I will build my politician. He didn't say, I will build my White House. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. Hey, I'm just telling you, if you're not careful, even some good things can become a little g God to you. It don't have to be wicked, but it can own you just the same. He says in verse 2, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name forever. Look, for thy loving kindness and for the truth and for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Second of all tonight, praise God for his loving kindness and his truth. Do you realize that we do not get what we deserve? We don't deserve to be related to the Son of God and have the inheritance that we do as believers. We don't deserve to have any loving kindness from a holy God. As unholy people and as people that don't often give him our whole heart, we don't deserve those things. We don't even deserve to read tonight. As I thought and prepared for the message, I thought, how unholy lips that I have, and that I read the Holy Scripture out to God's people, and that I stand and try to speak to God's people. Hey folks, if we were honest with ourselves, we're not deserving of a holy book. We're not deserving of a perfect book. We're not deserving of a roadmap, but God magnified his word above his very name. He means he wanted us to have so much of himself. He wanted us to have the truth and be able to hold on to it, be able to preach it and live in it in our lives. And oftentimes we take it for granted and we sure don't praise it enough. We can plaster KJV on the back wall. We can walk with it proudly in our arms. But people need to know that the truth is alive and well in our age. That it's not watered down, but they can find God's word because he's preserved it. Because he kept it perfect. We can't say it enough. We can't. There are people still today, we think, because we've said it so much that he doesn't have all our heart anymore, we get tired of saying it. The world's not tired of hearing it. There are people in our town that still don't realize that God has revealed himself in a book completely to man in the way that he wants them to live. and they just need somebody to bring it to them. There's still, I'm reminded of the story of the Indian tribe that had a missionary, a guy just kind of go through, and he had some pieces. He had a New Testament, but he told them about the whole Bible and how that Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation, had been spoken of and was told that he was coming, that he came, and that he died on Calvary. He shared, these men got saved. And they went town to town to town. Indians not looking for guns or liquor in the Old West, but came to town begging for a Bible. Could you please give us the Holy Word of God that was sent from heaven? Hey, folks, I don't think we understand. We live in such a great country, and we're all the time in a place where for a dollar, you can go to the dollar store and still buy the King James Bible. We take it for granted. We preach it and we amen it in this place. But when was the last time that we praised God for his loving kindness to us were to give us the truth? Many of us spend every day looking for wisdom and looking to get something from God's word to help us. And very often we spend the entire day, even when we've read it, we don't praise God for giving it. When I sit down and I begin to think about, you know, we have so many staff people here, even our wives and our family, when I really get to the place where I give my whole heart to something, I begin to look at the value that is contained in that person, in that part of our ministry. And I begin to, something happens on inside of me, and I get a little bit of emotional, and something starts working up in me because I realize how much these people do, or how much this person sacrifices, or just what is given. When we sit down in the morning and not, instead of just trying to get something for me, before we do that, do you know what will change your devotional life? If you allow yourself to really praise the God of heaven for his loving kindness and the truth that he has revealed himself to us. If we could get to a place, I'm not talking about some dancing around praise and worship. I'm talking about a whole heart of a man being given to praise of an almighty God. It will change us. It would revive us. When I'm driving in, I'm so thankful for our radio station. When I'm driving to and fro and all around this place and I turn on the radio and maybe the things of this world have begin to kind of bombard me or the problems of the day, and I hear a song come on that tells me about what Jesus did for me and his loving kindness to this sinner, I begin to get emotional again. When I hear a song about his truth and how it's a perfect book and it's so good. Folks, can I just tell you tonight that God is, it's too often that time passes by and we don't praise God for his loving kindness and his truth. Number three, I must hasten. Prayer strengthens the soul. I don't think sometimes when we pray, prayer again is asking and receiving. We understand that, but prayer is so much more than that. When I go to God in prayer, in verse 3 it says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. When I pray for someone else and they go from a ventilator back into the church building and I get to see them, when we're able to look at somebody like Brother Baker, who surely the church came together and prayed for, and now he's back in our midst and serving in our church, there's something about that when God answers my prayer, not just something that I needed done in my life, but when God reaches from heaven and does something that no one else is able to do but God, it strengthens my very soul when I realize that God rules in the affairs of men. Prayer is about not just praying and getting from God. Prayer is about God strengthening my inner man. God making me realize how powerful he is. I need to praise him for his loving kindness and his truth, but I need to pray and have my soul strengthened through answered prayer. Let me ask you, Christian, do you need revival tonight? When was the last time you had a prayer answered? One that you can mark down because you prayed for it consistently and you penned it down and then you checked it off because God answered it. That is the kind of prayer life a revived Christian is going to have. Number four, I hate to say this, but politicians shall praise the Lord. You have to have great faith to believe this, but the Word of God says it, so I believe it. Look at verse 4. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. God says that the politicians, he uses this term kings here, all the kings of the earth will praise him. There will be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm just here to tell you that I don't know if that's the only day that he's talking about now, but I really do believe that if God's people would come together collectively because of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and would get revived personally, when they came together, God would change our nation and he would take the heart of the king and make him sing praises to our Lord and make him do his bidding and make him come back and bring things back the way God wants it done. I believe too often we get downtrodden and poochy-lipped because we think this is it. He's coming back for us. This has got to be the tribulation period. This has got to be, and listen, I can say I'm guilty to that, but what I would like to see is God revive us again. Revive me, oh God. Bring revival to my heart. I know you're still the same God of the Old Testament. You're still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if you can do it for them, when it looked like everything was falling apart, when it looked like nothing was going right, when it seemed like everything was nothing but tyranny, don't think with an American mindset. Realize that all the nations of the world have never had what we had, but they're not ready all the time to cry, "Here he comes." But when the first sign of tribulation comes, Bill Clinton. Then the second sign of tribulation, Obama. And the sure sign of tribulation, Joe Biden. We can joke about it, but folks, we are guilty of it. We measure the book by things we don't like, and surely they are tribulation. But I would like to see God revive us again. I believe that God brought us each one into this world to do a work for him. And I want to be revived into the place where I'll do the work of God. I want to walk with him. Folks, I don't want to be guilty and stand before the Lord one day and him say, "You mismeasured the time. I'm glad you were looking for my return, but you shouldn't have laid down on me in the process. I'm glad you were looking for the rapture and you measured it out, but if you had just got revived, so many more people would have come to Christ." He keeps going and he says, pride will stop it. Look at verse 6. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. What is the difference here between the Christian that is close to God and the one that is far away? The one that with pride says, "There's nothing wrong with me." The one that with pride says, "I am revived. I don't need to have revival. I am walking close to him." One of the greatest things that this Bible, this truth that we can give is its mirror. And if you ain't read it in a while, you know, you probably do feel like you're all right. But every time I get inside this book, this mirror tells me and shows me who I am. And that I'm not there yet. That he's still working on me. And that I need to be revived. That I need to walk closer. Even in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the nation has to be humbled for God to answer the prayers. Christian, before you can ever have personal revival, you got to humble your own heart. give your whole heart to God and humble yourself before Him. Say, God, I'm yours. Do with me what you will. But I'm asking for a revival. I'm asking for something that I want you to put the fire back in me like I had when I first got saved. I want you to put the fire in me like I had last year or 2 years ago or whatever it is for you personally. You say, God, I want you to revive me like that. Take me past that, Lord. Burn in my soul. He goes on and he says here in verse number seven. Problems are no problem for our God. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemy, and thy right hand shall save me. He says here, though I walk in the midst of trouble. When I read this verse, this is why I'm preaching here tonight. When God brought me by this place, and I realized we are in the midst of a troubled time in our country. But this isn't the first time trouble has shown up in history. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. When you realize that the troubles of this world have nothing to do with God's power or ability to revive His saints, we need to get on board. Sometimes, if we're not careful as a church, as a believer, we'll come to a place and we'll think, this is it. But if I could take some of the gray hairs that are in this building tonight and how many times they've marked off, I thought this was it. I thought He was coming. I didn't set a date or anything, but I thought for sure this one was it. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I want to be revived again because of the teenagers of our church. I want them to see what a church on fire can really do and decide to stay here and burn with us. Hey, folks, I want to see the middle-aged group of people that have children know what it's like to see God's people revived and be a part of a church that's thriving, not dying, but one that's burning for the Lord Jesus Christ. The troubles, well, it's so troublesome. The world is so bad. When has that ever been a hesitation or a limitation of our God? He goes on and he says, God, all these different things God wants to do. And you know what He ultimately wants to do? You know why He wants to revive us? Because we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Do you realize He's still wanting to perfect the saints through this age? That He's given evangelists and apostles and preachers and all these different people that He is working in and through to revive His church throughout every age. Hey, folks, but especially in our age. Look at the last verse. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. In this age, I'm looking at the work of His hands. I'm His workmanship. You're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen, believer, my prayer tonight is that the folks that sit in this room that know for sure that Jesus has died on the cross, has paid for their sin, and rose again, and they put their faith and trust in Him and are saved. Tonight, my prayer is that you will pray a prayer of, God, revive me. God, revive me tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we stand to our feet and the musicians come to play, is there someone here tonight that would say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you slip your hand up and let me see? Is there a hand anywhere in the building that said, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to know that. I want to know. I don't see any hands, but all you have to do, we're inviting you to step out and to come to the front. I'll meet you in the front and I'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Christian, tonight, before Brother Bert sings, why don't you step out and come and tell God, revive me. If you're a gray-haired person tonight and you can't kneel down, why don't you right where you are, call out to a holy God and say, God, I give you my whole heart again. Revive me. Revive me in this hour, in this late hour. Revive me for your work and for your kingdom. Brother Burt, would you sing?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many Christians would raise your hand and say, preacher, I needed that tonight. Pray for me. I needed that tonight. Amen. I'll ask you to do this. As God works on you, why don't you pray for our nation? Our nation needs a lot of prayer. But while you praise and humble yourself and seek God's face, walk with him close. Praise him for who he is and beg him to keep you on track in that reviving. In all that tonight, one of the things that helps us is staying close to him in his house and with his people. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, baptism can't save you. Your works can't save you. Doing Sunday school can't save you. Working for the church or even communion never saved anybody. If you're here and you're trusting in any of those things, I invite you to come tonight. Come down and we'll take the Bible and show you what it does take to be saved through the Scripture. As Brother Burt sings,
all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine.